Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Project MedTech. I'm your host, Dwayne Mancini. As always, if you need anything from the podcast or would like to suggest a future guest, please email us at info@projectmedtech.com. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. And you can always visit our website, www.projectmedtech.com, or follow us on LinkedIn. My guest today is Karen Krieger with Global Kinetics. In this episode, Karen and I discuss their wearable Parkinson product, how they took advantage of the new RPM codes, partnering with pharma and med tech companies as a remote monitor for their clinical trials, and more. So without further ado, my discussion with Karen Krieger.
Medical innovation starts with medical discussion. Talking about the future and what comes next with Project MedTech.
Karen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Dwayne.
Yeah, so I mentioned in your bio, you're currently the senior director of clinical affairs. Is that right? At Global Kinetics?
That is correct, yes.
Awesome. So let's just start with a quick introduction to who you are, and then we'll dive into what you're currently doing with Global Kinetics.
Yes. So in my role as senior director of clinical affairs for Global Kinetics, basically I have responsibility for managing the clinical research, which includes Global Kinetics sponsored studies, as well as investigator initiated studies, and then also responsibility for clinical trial services, which is where we actually offer our product to be used as an endpoint in protocols and clinical trial designs for major pharmaceutical companies, as well as med tech companies.
Okay, awesome. And what about your background in the medical device space? I know you have an extensive background there as well.
I've actually been in the medical device space for almost 20 years now. I actually started out in a small startup company on the marketing side, and for many years was on the marketing and product development side, where I brought products that were used in the peripheral vascular space to market. And then I moved over from marketing into clinical research, and there managed and had responsibilities for both pre-market as well as post-market studies, mainly for FDA regulatory approval, but also for CE mark in Europe as well.
Okay, interesting. So what was that transition like, out of curiosity, going from marketing to clinical research, right? I feel like I've talked to some folks who have bridged the gap between marketing and engineering, right, during like product development. Mm-hmm. But what was going from marketing to clinical research like?
Actually, for me, it was a fairly easy and straightforward transition, because on the marketing and product development side, I was working with a cross-functional team, and one of the products that I was working on, which was an embolic protection device for the peripheral vascular space, we were running several clinical trials for FDA approval for use of this embolic protection device in carotid stenting. So I was working a lot with the clinical research side through that process, and actually had the opportunity to observe some of the cases where subjects were being enrolled into the trial, and then had the opportunity from the marketing side and my experience with talking about features and benefits of the product, and certainly developing marketing collateral and campaigns around the features and benefits of the product, had the opportunity to start doing some training with investigators who were enrolling subjects into these clinical trials from a product side, and then moved into a clinical field specialist role where I was actually supporting the use of the product within the procedures in the cath lab, in endo suites with interventional radiologists, interventional cardiologists, and vascular surgeons. So that's how I made the transition and then progressed from there into clinical trial project management, and actually spent some time in Europe, lived in Paris for a year, working on a number of different studies for a drug-coated balloon product that was going on, where we were seeking approval in the US, and then also doing some post-approval studies in Europe as well.
Awesome. Very cool. No, I really appreciate that. I think that, you know, some of the listeners who are starting out in the medical device space, you know, might find that interesting. So I appreciate the background. Let's jump into Global Kinetics. You know, you kind of mentioned your role there and what you do, but Global Kinetics as a company, you know, what is it? Where are you guys at right now? What's the mission? And then we'll dive in from there.
So Global Kinetics is a commercial stage digital health company that's really seeking to revolutionize the way that people with Parkinson's disease are managed, and really by providing the first continuous and objective measurement of patient symptoms in their own home environment. We're also very committed to improving the lives of those living with Parkinson's disease with advanced technologies and supporting them throughout the phases and progress of their disease. The company was actually founded in 2007 with its lead product, which is the Personal Kinetograph, or PKG for short. And the PKG is an algorithm-based system that records patients' movements over the course of several days and then creates a data-driven report, really to empower clinicians to use more personalized treatment in their management decisions and treatment path. And hopefully this leads to a better quality of life for people that are living with Parkinson's disease. So the PKG itself really enables the precise monitoring, quantification, and reporting of movement symptoms of neurological disease, such as Parkinson's disease. And then we're also looking at other areas that involve movement disorders as well. And the system has been used in a couple of different regional areas, in neurological clinics in the US, the Europe, as well as in Australia. And to date, we've had and supported the use of over 60,000 PKGs in making clinical decisions for clinicians who have treated more than 30,000 patients with Parkinson's disease. And this has really generated more than 7 million hours of clinical data. And from a regulatory standpoint, just to mention as well, Duane, the PKG has FDA 510K clearance. It is CE marked, and we do have TGA approval in Australia for the system.
Awesome. Okay. Real quick while we're there. So 60,000 patients, 7,000 hours of clinical data. I'd be interested to know, you know, for the 510K, did you need clinical data for submission, or did you just start collecting clinical data once this was on the market and approved?
So it's a little bit of both. We really have two buckets of clinical data. One is the clinical data, which is really to validate the algorithms and the clinical use of the PKG. Mm-hmm. So as mentioned, it's a data-driven system where the information from the PKG, which is a wrist-worn biosensor or accelerometer, that information is processed through the cloud through algorithms. And so we needed to validate those algorithms, and those studies have been published. There are over 13 studies that are published just on the algorithms as well as their clinical use. And so for the regulatory submission We had to provide all of the publications and use of the algorithms themselves. And then as much information that we had about the clinical use and clinical validation of the PKG we provided at that point. But also wanted to clarify, we were not required, to do a pre-market study specifically that was outlined or designated by the FDA in order to get the 510K clearance, as this is a class 2 device.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Okay. Very cool. Yeah. I'm always curious, you know, especially with these products that take advantage of algorithms, you know, how you arrive at that. I know it's probably individualized for each product, but how you arrive at this number of data points that you have to collect to validate your algorithm, you know, and I think that it's just it's a new area for a lot of people. It's a new area for the FDA. You know, I work with a lot of companies that are going through this process, and it just fascinates me the process you have to go through to figure out, you know, how many data points or sets you actually need to validate this algorithm. So thanks for shedding a little insight there. The other question I had while we're still there is, so you said it's CE marked. Did you get CE marked during the MDR or the MDD?
During the MDD. So we received our CE mark in 2014. Okay. So this was prior to the MDR. So right now we are in the process, as most medical device companies are, of transitioning from the MDD to the MDR. So we're going through all of the qualifications on the, on the quality side in order to meet the new regulation.
Okay. And the collection of clinical data, I'm assuming, wasn't an issue for you because you're already collecting so much of it?
That is correct. So we were able to maintain our CE certificate under the current clinical data that we have. And then we're going through the process, again, as most companies are, of a gap analysis to figure out the areas where we may need to provide additional clinical data in the future. And certainly under the guidelines, if you have a significant change to your product, and now under the new regulation, we may need to provide clinical data up front, which may be more in the context of clinical utility data, as well as the validation of any new scores or algorithms that we produce to support this product.
Okay. Awesome. I appreciate it. So any more information on the wearable itself? I feel like you've done a pretty good job of painting the picture and how to use it. I understand there's two business units, I guess, that Global Kinetics are two major areas that you might sell this to, right? And it's primary care and then clinical trial services. Let's table the clinical trial services for a second and talk about primary care. Maybe discuss a little bit of that.
Yeah, so basically for primary care or routine clinical care, the PKG is really being used under a commercial scenario for management of Parkinson's disease symptoms. So this is under our regulatory clearance, you know, under the FDA 510K or CE mark. And in this scenario, the clinician is using the PKG under our regulatory labeling. So the patient is going to wear the PKG watch, again, during their activities of daily living, and the results are compiled into a report that is reviewed by the treating clinician, who's typically a movement disorder specialist or a general neurologist. And then the clinician uses the objective PKG measures along with their own medical history and assessments to adjust the patient's treatment plan, including changes to their oral medications or referrals to advanced therapies. So in the US, the PKG system under this 510K clearance also qualifies for reimbursement under the Medicare Category 1 CPT codes for remote physiologic monitoring. So in this case, the PKG biosensor is put into the hands of the patient in their home environment, and they retain the device over a period of time. So they're going to wear the watch on a weekly basis. And then at the end of the week, they will use a docking station, which is cellular enabled, to not only charge the battery for the PKG watch, but also to upload the data from the accelerometer through the cloud. And then the data is processed through the proprietary algorithms, which produces these scores that are input onto the report. And the mechanism for the clinic to be able to see the report is through an online portal. So the clinic staff can log into the online portal. It doesn't need to be the clinician themselves. It can be any member of their clinical staff that logs into the portal, not only to place an order for a PKG, but they can also update medications, as there's a medication reminder on the watch itself, which enables the patient to be reminded of the times that they need to take their dopaminergic medications for their Parkinson's disease. And then the clinic staff can also view and download a PDF of the report that the clinician can use to interpret and then adjust the patient's therapy.
Awesome. Wow. So this is a really interesting device. You could start to see the benefits of having something like this, right? And anyone who's had a family member or friend or anyone close to them who has Parkinson's or had Parkinson's, and you know, has unfortunately passed away, it is the benefits of this are crazy, right? So my grandpa had Parkinson's disease. Okay. And you know, just being able to, you think about if this was around then and it was able to be deployed, you know, I'm fairly certain there's no cure for Parkinson's disease. I know there's research and it's very similar to Alzheimer's, where it feels like we're always on the cusp of maybe having something, but you know, you have to monitor symptoms. And so having something like this where you can greatly reduce it or be able to take medicine and the doctor has the information to be able to treat Parkinson's at a more effective level, it's big. So really, really cool product. I want to ask you about remote patient monitoring codes or RPM codes. It's definitely a hot topic right now, right? I mean, we've seen the wearables market just take off. We've seen digital health take off. And generally it's a combination of those two areas that are taking advantage of these RPM codes. So can you just briefly describe what they are and then how you utilize them at Global Kinetics?
Yes. So the RPM codes or remote physiologic monitoring codes, also referred to as remote patient monitoring, which is a little bit more descriptive, especially when working with patients. These are codes that have been developed by CMS and are very conducive to the environment that we're living in right now, particularly in the pandemic and the rise in the need for telemedicine and telehealth services. So these codes have evolved over the last 2 years, and really now what they involve is the ability to monitor symptoms over the course of a certain period, where the clinic staff can be assured that there is information that's being gathered that will be useful to them as they engage with the patient on their treatment plan. And specifically for the RPM codes, there are a couple of requirements that need to be met, but the bar isn't so high that patients and clinicians cannot take advantage of this. So one of the requirements is that a medical grade device is being used. So in this case, the PKG with the regulatory clearance under FDA does qualify for that. The other piece is that there needs to be monitoring of a chronic health condition. Excuse me, which Parkinson's disease qualifies for. And then another requirement is that there is data transmission of at least 16 days within a 30-day period. And with using the PKG watch, and particularly for this patient population, it's easy for them to be able to wear it just on a continuous basis over the course of the 30 days. And then the last requirement for the RPM codes is that there's some two-way synchronous communication between the clinician and clinic staff and the patient. So this could be a phone call, it could be a telehealth visit via video, it could be a message via a secured clinic messaging system like MyChart is one of the examples. Really, the only thing that doesn't qualify is standard text messaging or a standard email, which are just not HIPAA compliant for protecting PHI information. Okay. So that's basically the requirements for the RPM. And there are several codes involved. I can give you some more detail on that, but essentially there are four codes that really help in this management of remote symptoms. So the first code, the 99453 code, is an initial setup code. This just needs to be done once with the patient where they provide a demonstration of the product and then an overview of how the program would work. And that can be billed by the provider or the clinic one time at the beginning of the program.
Okay.
And then the 99454 code is a data transmission code. And for the PKG, this really simply means that the patient is wearing the watch, again, for those 16 out of the 30 days within that period. And as long as that's fulfilled, the clinic can bill for that on a monthly basis. And then there's two different codes for really the overall management of the RPM program with the patient. The 99457 is for the first 20-minute increment of managing the program. And this could be anything, for example, with the PKG, entry of the order into our online portal, adjusting medications in the portal, or downloading the report. Also the clinician's time that's spent in reviewing the report. And then the feedback loop really to the patient on how they're doing, what needs to be adjusted, and these types of things. And that feedback loop can be performed by a qualified health professional. It doesn't need to necessarily be the clinician themselves. So really trying to utilize the right level of resources within the clinic to not overburden them from a workflow standpoint. That's something that we're really cognizant of with this program because it can be very beneficial for the patient to have their symptoms monitored, provide some reassurance over the course of that time and have that connection point with their care team as well. So that 20-minute code, the 99457, that's the first 20 minutes. There are also other topics that can be addressed. It does not need to be about the product in this case, the PKG information. It can be surrounding all symptoms of their Parkinson's disease, whether it's exercise, physical therapy, diet and nutrition, those types of topics can be discussed and counted towards this time as well.
Okay. Awesome. I appreciate that. I think that that's another area that comes up a lot in conversations with med tech companies and figuring out, you know, reimbursement's hot in med tech in general, right? I mean, I think we've seen that over the last 5 to 10 years. But I know these codes are especially kind of at the top of the list for a lot of companies now, especially in that wearable digital health area. So I appreciate the insight there, and learning about those from example is really the best way to do it. Okay, another area that is also was pulled forward because of the pandemic is decentralized clinical trials. So at LabCorp, which is the company that I work for, is some area that we were on the forefront of, along with other CROs as well. And that was, okay, during the pandemic, doctor's visits are down, right? They're only necessities. There's no elective surgeries happening. So, and coming off the heels of that, it was, well, how do we reduce the amount of in-person doctor visits? And that's where this decentralized clinical trial term was born. With that came the need for remote patient monitoring in a lot of these trials. You know, how do we reduce that? And then all of a sudden, you know, post pandemic, if you want to say we're there, whatever it is, I'm not going to get into to that debate. But regardless, you know, the question was always at the very beginning was, well, it's going to pull everything forward. Is it going to go back to normal? And the answer is probably not, right? No, because people are going to like the idea of decentralized trials. It reduces the burden on the patients. You know, if you don't have to go into the hospital as much, or for an in-person visit as much, or you can do things from home, you're probably going to get, it's more likely compliance as well for clinical trials. So anyways, with that being said, obviously your product fits that really well. There's plenty of companies out there, especially pharma companies, who are trying to treat Parkinson's, who are coming out with new drugs, who are trying to probably cure Parkinson's. So there's a lot of trials there. There's other med tech companies as well, who I assume are trying to treat Parkinson's by, you know, doing deep brain stimulation or nerve stimulation or anything like that. So I'd love to hear, and I'm sure other companies who are listening to have wearable products would love to hear, how are you attacking the clinical trial market?
That's a great point and very relevant to the times that we're living in right now. I'll address that by a couple of points. And one is, we do have a dedicated business unit, which is called Clinical Trial Services within Global Kinetics. And this is really where we're dedicated and have a model where the data collected by the PKG is used within clinical research studies for large pharmaceutical companies, med tech companies who are working on novel therapies for Parkinson's disease. So within these studies, it's really where the data derived from the PKG can be used as an objective endpoint measurement of Parkinson's disease motor symptoms. So as I mentioned, these pharmaceutical and medical device companies who are conducting Parkinson's disease studies, phase 0 through phase 4, can utilize the PKG to remotely capture data from study subjects, either under an episodic or a continuous use model. And then the PKG data is aggregated and sent to the study sponsor for use in their statistical analyses, statistical packages, along with other endpoint data that they're collecting and capturing in their EDCs and analyzing within the context of the protocol. And the results from these studies are used for initial safety testing, regulatory submissions, as well as post-market surveillance. So really to, you know, address how our product can be conducive within this market, I'll first address some of the challenges that researchers on the pharmaceutical side and medical device side are seeing. And one of those is really around the reliability and accuracy of assessments, which have been used over the course of time in Parkinson's disease studies. So tools such as diaries, the UPDRS, which stands for the Unified Parkinson's Disease Rating Scale, which is a four-part scale used. It can be time-consuming and require recall of different symptoms. And it's difficult for the patients really to translate how they're feeling into something that's clinically useful and meaningful within the context of a clinical trial. And it requires the patient to really have active input, and compliance with these types of measures can be difficult. And for the researchers as well, analyzing this data, which is more subjective and qualitative, can be time consuming and at times can be unreliable as well. So within the context of virtual studies, hybrid studies, decentralized trials, really the PKG provides this remote monitoring solution that's quantitative as well as qualitative and provides that objective measurement of motor activity. And these motor changes can be seen over time from baseline to follow-up visits using the validated algorithms that we have. So in the end, there's really less variability and can be more power, higher effect size compared to patient reported outcomes like the UPDRS or diaries. And within the context of decentralized trials, the PKG really has the ability to capture data 100% remotely, again, through these episodic or continuous models, which requires really little to no clinical staff time to collect the data, since the data is being passively collected in the patient's home environment. And there are no questionnaires or tasks that need to be completed by the patient to collect this data. And really at the end of the day, makes the trial participation easier for the patient, which is the goal in leveraging decentralized trial designs as well, where the patient doesn't need to travel to the clinical site for the data collection. And in the end, as well as compliance with providing the data for the researcher, really what this means is they may have a higher data collection rate in order to use for their primary and secondary endpoints.
Great. One thing that you said, and I hadn't thought about it until now, just being in the CRO space, seeing clinical trials, seeing pricing for those, right? I mean, I think everyone in the med tech area knows specifically how expensive, you know, clinical trials could be. And you brought it up about the patient monitoring, right? That makes up a large portion of clinical trial bills. So, I hadn't thought about it just yet from the company side of things, is if you can do this decentralized trial or a hybrid approach using remote patient monitoring, you're probably lowering the cost in which the trial is going to, the cost of the trial. Have you guys seen that?
Well, we, you know, our data is usually limited to the studies that we're working on. And certainly we, from our perspective, work with the pharmaceutical company or medtech company in order mm-hmm. to meet the needs for the study. But I think you're right in the fact that the amount of study budget allocated to patients coming in, sometimes there's a patient stipend that's provided for the patient to come in and collect assessments and these types of things. So certainly you're decreasing some of those types of costs associated with the study as well. And then, you know, for the part around reliability of the data and data collection, a lot of times in clinical studies, you have to account for repeat tests, visits that happen outside of window, or additional visits that need to happen because the data wasn't captured correctly. And in the case of the PKG, again, with the passive data collection, as long as the patient is physically wearing the biosensor or watch on their wrist, the data collection is happening. So you can be assured that you will have high compliance and be able to collect the data that's needed from the wearable.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay. That wraps up, Karen, the questions that I had for you. In terms of, you know, people reaching out, we'll have the website for Global Kinetics in the show notes. Are you active on LinkedIn?
Yes, absolutely. Global Kinetics has a page on LinkedIn. And then the website, just for clarification, is at pkgcare.com.
Oh, okay. Very good. So I'll make sure I include that proper link there. I'll also include the Global Kinetics LinkedIn page. I'll include your LinkedIn page as well, just in case anyone wants to reach out to you with questions. I think you provided a lot of great information, and I think that other people might be able to learn from the story that Global Kinetics has had, and also just your rich background as well. So I really appreciate the information. Hang on for 1 minute here. I'm going to stop the recording and we'll chat offline real quick. But I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much, Dwayne. Pleasure to work with you.
Yep. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. If you need anything from the podcast, you can always contact us at info@projectmedtech.com. Thanks for listening and have a great day.